This is Beer School Episode 0, actually beta test, whatever it ends up being.
This is the one that goes for millions on eBay.
That's right. This is the one that goes for millions on eBay. So in 3, 2, 1, you're listening to Beer School. We're here to help you and your friends learn to like more than one kind of beer. There's lots of beers to like. Some are made right down the street from where you live, and others have to travel halfway around the world just to get to you. In fact, the beers that we just had, well, we had to drive all the way across like 4 blocks to get to. The thing is that, you know, it's all about the local beer, right, Motor?
It is all about the local beer. It's about the local ingredients. It's about people who care about what they're making and stuff that hasn't sat in a boxcar for 6 months.
That's right. Well, that's why they have, you know, Bud's done us a big favor by putting the Born on date, you know, to really remind us that beer does go bad.
Yes, and putting it on in a way that you can understand what the date is, as opposed to a lot of other breweries like to do their secret codes.
Yeah.
And if you do some research, you can figure out the secret codes. But, yeah, knowing that some things can go bad and some things can age, it's not all like wine. Some beers can age like wine. Others, though, you want to have fresh.
It's like bread. You know, fresh bread is always the best. And, you know, after a couple of days, it's not so good.
Unless you're trying to make croutons.
Then non-fresh bread's the way to go. So the thing with Beer School is that, like I said, we're here to – this is our first, very, very first episode. And we're here – our goal is to help everyone learn to like beer, other beer, not just the beer that we've all been drinking.
To get into, to demystify what's going on with beer. Maybe you look at something and you say, maybe I want to try that, but I don't know what it's going to taste like. I don't know what it's going to be like. Is it going to give me a headache? We want to just sort of give you a roadmap to interesting places you might want to go.
Right. Talk about history, talk about the brewing process a little bit, talk about places that we like to go and beers that we like as well. So the thing about being a beer drinker is that most of us learn to drink the beer that our fathers liked to drink.
Yes.
And why is that, Motor?
Well, a wise man once told me that it's the easiest beer to steal when you're young.
It's what's in the fridge, right?
It's what's in the fridge.
It's like, ooh, I'm going out on the Friday night with my friends, and I better bring some beer. And like, okay, how many beers can I take from the fridge before it's been noticed that beers have been taken? And the reality is that beers are always noticed.
It is.
Being gone. You're like, oh, I thought there was a whole 6-pack here. What's this 3-pack?
You know, even if you get tricky and you try to trim off the 2 little extra rings from the 6-pack holder. Right,
so that it looks like a 4-pack. Well, that doesn't work at all.
But then the question is, how do you move beyond what your dad drank, or how do you experiment with new beer? You know, what about the peer pressure?
Beer pressure?
Yes.
Well, that's what happens when you tap a keg that's been moved that hasn't been able to sit in. That's beer pressure.
See, I found when I was a freshman in college, I was, of course, not drinking beer because that would have been illegal. But by keeping Anchor Steam in my little dorm refrigerator, people said that beer tastes like fish head, and they wouldn't take my beer. They'd go down and find – they'd always try to scam beer off the guy who kept the Henry Weinharts in his fridge.
Oh, right. Well, you know, the Anchor was a hoppier beer, more malt, more character.
Yes.
It wasn't a Bud at all. And so to the person who – is a Bud fan, or excuse me, a Native American beer fan, or a modern American beer fan, Anchor Steam is not a very good beer. And so for everyone who's listening who doesn't know, and there's like 4 people that are going, I know what an Anchor is, that one guy. Okay, so this is for that one guy.
Yep.
Anchor Steam is a local San Francisco institution. Well, it's a brewery.
Yes.
But it is an institution. Everybody from the area knows about it. It's one of the very first craft brewing companies in the United States, started by Fritz Maytag in around 1976.
It was actually rescued by Fritz Maytag. The brewery had been around for a long time. And, he came in as it was about to fall apart and break apart. And if you know Maytag, yeah, he might have had a little bit of money in his pocket when he was a kid in college.
Oh, yeah.
And
from selling cheese to all of his friends.
And just said, this is a really interesting thing and I want to sustain it, and went into learning all about brewing, and then really started the idea of brewing interesting beer back up in this country after it had completely died out at that point.
Right. Well, this was caused by Prohibition, and Prohibition took the literally thousands of breweries that were scattered all around the United States and made them go away. And then after the fact, when everything was all settled and restarted, there was nothing left.
Only the biggest ones or the smartest ones that could figure some way to sustain their business when they couldn't be brewing beer survived. It's like the theory that don't use too many antibiotics because then only the strong stuff survives, that's going to cause you trouble later on.
Exactly. Ooh, let's kill everything except for the strong stuff. So speaking of strong stuff, let's talk about beer. Okay. Because that's what this is. This is school for beer. What is beer? We know that beer is four things.
Oh, is this the quiz?
This is the quiz. This is where we should have done our homework.
Well, I'm gonna guess that since it's a liquid, water plays a part in beer.
I would say, and is it the part, the most important part? You know, the land of the land of sky blue waters. Is it really the Rocky Mountain stream?
No, because water chemistry, if you've ever had to deal with a swimming pool or a hot tub, you can easily understand water chemistry and get your water from whatever source it comes from to clean up and be good to brew with.
Right. So like much like a fish tank. So
that's a fish tank.
Right. It's like the fish tank problem. So you want the pH to be something other than 9, and you want the salt to be something other than 7, whatever those scales are.
Yeah, and you can adjust for different types of beer. Historically, have brewed in areas that have either soft water or heavy water, and that does impart a flavor to the beer. But it's probably not the biggest. It's not the biggest key contributor to the beer.
It could be why there's very few breweries in LA.
Could be.
Because of the weird water situation that they have, where they would actually have to manufacture or make the specific water that they were looking for.
Correct.
Well, okay, so next time you're in LA, bring beer before you go there. So next on the list, we have barley. And barley is a grain. It's it's basically something that it's like wheat, but it's not wheat.
We sing about it, the amber waves of grain.
That's right. The amber waves of grain, right. It's Purple Mountain Majesty. It's part of our culture that we talk about the barley.
And the barley is there to impart sugar when you start to put the ingredients together. You take the sugars, not sugar itself like you get in little packets at Starbucks, but the sugar that exists within the grain, you're taking that out as you start to boil that with water.
So next we have hops, which is actually
hops is what hops a kangaroo does.
Hops is what a kangaroo does. Hops, there's different varieties of hops, but basically hops is both a preservative and a flavoring additive that's put in beer to keep beer fresh and to make it so that it's not so sweet. Because if we just drank barley water,
It would be pretty gross.
It would be pretty gross. It would be super sweet.
Yes. And the hops are a beautiful vine, grows very quickly, and you get these little, they're about the size of a grape, maybe a little bit bigger, puffy little flowers that can be dried or put in full strength to the beer to give some bitterness that you try. The seasoned brewer tries to balance the sweetness and the hoppiness together at different levels depending on what style of beer they're trying to make.
So there's different kinds of hops, right?
Yes.
There's bittering hops.
They're aromatic hops so that you can smell them.
You mean aromatic hops?
Yeah.
No, aromatic, not aromatic. Aromatic would be like your computer crashing.
Yes.
That's the that's when you let the smoke out.
That's what they the code name was for Fista, aromatic.
I thought it was long. I thought it was Shorthorn. Actually, people got fired for calling it Shorthorn. So different kinds of hops. So we have water, barley, hops. But there's something that's really really cool.
Yes, the bubbles.
The bubbles. Where do the bubbles come from? Do the bubbles come from, like, the carbonator that's that powers the soda machine?
No. What you have, the last of the four secret ingredients, is yeast. And the yeast do a lot of the work. Yeast like to eat sugar. And when the yeast eat sugar, they transform it into alcohol.
And something else.
And some bubbles.
And some bubbles. Some CO2.
And that's the magic little nanotechnology that makes beer possible.
So, wow, yeasts are everywhere. I mean, these nanoparticles are all around the world.
Yes.
They empower us to make, they empower bread makers. They,
Winemakers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what is that other liquid that we never drank? The winemakers. Yeah, and a lot of people wouldn't believe that wine is enabled by yeast. You know, it's like, oh, we'll ferment the grapes.
Right.
Well, what does that mean, ferment the grapes?
Something has to take place there.
Yeah, you have to add the beasties in order for the fermentation process to happen. Otherwise, it's just grape juice.
Yes. And soda. different yeast can impart different flavors.
Well, that's right. Well, and we're going to talk more about yeast and hops and barley in future parts of the show, but we basically wanted to define what beer is because that's the beginning of beer school. So in Germany, those are the only ingredients that can be used for making beer.
Yes. The Germans are very serious.
What's the name of that law?
The Reinheitsgebot.
The Reinheitsgebot.
German beer purity law of, I don't know, sometime around when Columbus sailed.
Like 1493.
Yeah, 14 something or other.
14
something. All you guys are listening to this on the internet, so you can Google that.
Yeah, you can.
You'll get the number.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, we could look it up ourselves.
It's been a damn long time.
It's been forever. But is it really a law? I mean, is it really like in the constitution of?
Oh yeah,
of Germany.
I don't know if it's constitution. I don't know how the government structure works, but it's one of the first consumer protection laws ever conceived. The Reinheitsgebot to make sure that the beer was good and pure, and they weren't selling you know stuff made with sticks and twigs.
So wait, that implies that you can make beer with other stuff. Like
you can put other stuff into beer. Sometimes you want to use cheaper ingredients. Sometimes instead of barley, you use wheat to make a lighter, crisper beer. Sometimes you want to use something like rice that might be cheaper and impart fewer flavors if you're trying to come up with a flavorless beer that's not intimidating to the masses and sell it in cans and sell it during the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to name any names, but...
Well, there's a couple of companies that use rice as a major part of their ingredient.
Yes.
For the brewing process. Well, does it really... But does that make it not beer? Well, I mean, under the German law, that wouldn't...
It makes it not beer under the German law. But there are so many things that you can put into good and interesting beer that are illegal, according to the German purity law. You can put fruit into beer. You can put coffee. You can put vanilla beans.
You could put beer in beer. Like, you can make a black and tan.
You could, yes. There are also, in Belgium, there was a strong tradition of blending different beers, much like you blend different wines. There's a beer right now that's blended with some framboise, which is raspberry beer.
Where would we get that beer?
Smart and Final? No.
No. No, this is the power of your local brewery.
Yes.
So the local brewery is always interested in making and trying out brand new things. So taking a beer, in this case it's a Belgium style raspberry beer.
Yes.
And putting it in something that they're brewing, and that's where a lot of the flavor comes from.
Yes, a lot of the people who, if you're going to start a small brewery, you're following a passion, and you're going to like brewing, and you're going to want to keep experimenting. And if you've built and educated your clientele, they'll be excited to try something new. And so it sort of builds upon itself. And most brewers at a smaller scale are very congenial. They're sort of a brotherhood or a, you know, sort of guild, trading ideas back and forth and coming up with new and interesting beers they can share and go, look what I came up with. Oh yeah, look with what I came up with.
Did you know that brewers trade yeast? I mean, you know, they're talking about trading recipes and they trade all these other stuff. And but when the very first time I heard that yeast was being traded back and forth, you know, and I'm like, why would you do that? I'm like, well, to keep the beasties alive.
Yes.
So it might be this specific style yeast that got smuggled in through customs in a little vial in.
Or you can try and get it out of some beers that aren't fully filtered. You can try and grab some yeast out of that. That's sort of more of a homebrewer skill to try and make a clone of a different beer. Homebrewing, luckily where we're based here in beautiful San Francisco, a lot of good beer is very easy to find. But in other places, I can see where, you know, homebrewing is your way to get good beer.
Right. Well, if you don't have a choice in some cases, because if you live, say, in a little tiny town in Nebraska or Iowa, where the local supermarket or the local your local beer store is going to only have 12 packs of the famous beers, the ones that are in the top 75% market of places. That's what the locals like, and that's what will be available to you.
Yep.
So you have to, you know, order the gear and make your own. Fortunately, we can do that now. It used to be something that we couldn't do. But we'll talk about why that is on another show. So we're going to do some school now.
Okay.
All right. So there's some specific things, some specific terms that we're going to use between on every other show from here on. And we'll probably call them out for the first bunch of episodes so that people can understand what that is. But these are some technical terms, and they're not really technical, but they're just things to know. And that way we can have a conversation about beer without really going into a huge, long description.
Also, it helps you if you're going to be out and starting to adventure with beer. You'll know what these terms mean when you start to look around for different beers.
Right. So the first term that's probably the most confusing because it's an acronym, and we don't have any acronyms after this one. This is the first and only one that we use. Actually, we use, and there's another one, but no, this is the one we're going to use on the show. And that one is IBUs.
IBU?
IBU.
You be me?
You be me, IBU. Ooh, that could be really fun because, all right, well, I'm not going to do that today. But
we'll discuss that in a further episode.
So yeah, you be me and IBU. So IBU stands for International Bitter Units. And this is derived from an equation that you take the amount of barley, the amount of hops that you've put in the beer, and then you from that you can divide things and multiply things. And I don't have the equation because I'm not a brewer every day. But from that, you get this number, and it's a magic number.
It is.
And the lower the number, the less bitter the beer is. The higher the number, the more bitter the beer is. And so when we talk about bitter, what are we saying?
Well, part of at the beginning, a lot of people might say bitter is not something I want to taste. But across all the styles of beer, some beers are meant to be bitter, and it's a flavor that's enjoyable. A lot of people now like really, really bitter beers. The beers are made bitter by the hops, and they chase out a beer with a really, really high IBU. On the other hand, a lot of the beers that you find in cans at the gas station by the interstate have a really low IBU number.
Right. So, for example, a Budweiser, a standard old issue in the red, white, and blue can, has an IBU of 11. So this Bud for you, and it goes to 11.
It's one more than 10.
It's one more
That's
than
what
10.
Keeps it ahead of the pack.
That's right. And I'm sure that if you could find a beer that had less IBUs than a Bud, then you're almost drinking water. In fact, you know, there's at 11 IBUs. That's like barely. That has barely any flavor at all.
Correct.
So,
And another thing that affects that also is the temperature at which it's served.
Right.
A lot of the flavors remain muted the colder it is.
Right. So you take a beer that is potentially disgusting because it has no flavor in it, and if you make it really cold, then it'll taste really good.
Yes.
But if you drink that beer at, say, pale ale temperature, which I would say 45, 50 degrees.
Okay.
You know, not super cold, but, you know, pretty warm. If you drank that same thing side by side, you would go, ugh, this is disgusting.
So what would a number for a hoppier style of beer be for an IBU? What's the top on the scale? Is it a million?
No, it's okay. So once you get up over 100, you're talking about really hoppy beers. I mean, not hoppy beers, but really bitter beers. And they're going to have lots of hop flavor. They're going to have lots of malt flavor. And it's just going to be this explosion of bitterness or flavor. And it is interesting. So this is kind of getting ahead of everything, but that's okay. The professors are allowed to impart a story. A brewer decided that he wanted to make a beer that was over 140 IBUs.
Okay.
You remember the guy? He used to brew at Magnolia.
Yes.
Anyway, so he goes off and he's like, I'm going to brew this big beer. And he does. And it takes like 50 pounds of hops to get this up there. And so normally a batch of beer might only use 20 pounds of hops. So he's used double plus 10 to get to this, to get to his hoppiness. Double plus 10. Where did that come from? Anyway, so he's all excited. You're like, here, try this beer. Like, what's it called? And he says, it's called Promised Land. I'm like, okay. And you're like, geek! You know, you make that Bugs Bunny face. like everything screws up all at the same time. And you're like, ugh, that's, ugh. And then after you got used to it, it was like, this is really good.
Yeah, there's also a style that a very sour beer where you're trying to the flavor comes out very sour to the point where you just pucker.
Oh, right. And those are usually from Belgium, those beers. Yes. Sour beers. Well, sour beers are something we'll skip over.
Oh, that's way down the line.
Yeah, okay. So the thing of it is that if you are changing your beer drinking styles and you try something that a Belgium sour or a Belgium goose or a lambic style beer. Wow, those things that you'll just drink it and go, why am I drinking this? And it's really sad in a way because you know that style of beer is an acquired taste. Because once you acquire the taste and once you get there, it's like, okay, I can't think of why I wouldn't want to not drink this beer.
Exactly.
But that's what the show is about. You know, the thing of it is that when I first started learning about lots of different styles of beer, one of the best beers I thought in the whole world was a Heineken. Well, Heinekens come in green glass bottles. They have a bitter, skunky taste to them. But I thought that's okay. I'm drinking a Heineken. This is obviously a good beer because it came from all the way around the world. And I need to enjoy it. And so I choked it down and there I was thinking, okay, I'm drinking a really good beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also, if you're starting out, there is no wrong answer in what beer you like. You could even make a good argument for the stuff that comes in the cans, right, from the shelf at the gas station. But, you know, some people like dark beers, some people like hoppy beers, some people like sour beers, and some people do like beers that are cold with not a lot of flavor.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. You know, you like what you like.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say, ooh, you got to try this beer because it's the best, bestest beer in the whole world. And, you know, you may try that thing that I'm foisting on you and you may go, yeah, why does this taste like bananas? And you're like, you're tasting bananas. That's so cool. All right. So let's see. Next thing on our terms list is gravity. Now, we're not talking about Bugs Bunny defying law of gravity.
Without gravity, you wouldn't be able to keep the beer in your glass.
That's right. You know, and without a glass, you wouldn't be able to put beer, wouldn't have something to put beer in. So gravity is what?
Gravity is this is the one that always throws me off. It's a measure of the potential alcohol that can be released in a beer.
Okay, so this is a brewing process.
Yes.
This is part of, so the gravity of the beer is when you've just imparted all the sugars from the barley.
Yes. How many sugars do you have and how many sugars are converted into alcohol?
Right. And then that, from the gravity, we can determine what the potential ABV,
Yes. What is ABV, John?
Absolutely Bavarian
Alcohol
volts.
by volume.
It's funnier to say absolute Bavarian volts. But so alcohol by volume. And so that tells you the percentage of a
Of
lot
available sugar
of
that was converted to alcohol.
right.
And you use this great little device called a hydrometer, which looks sort of like a thermometer, that floats in a cylinder of the liquid ahead of time and after time, and you take the two readings, and you can figure out what how much sugar turned into alcohol,
Right.
and thereby how much alcohol your beer will have.
Right. So the cool thing about this is, well, why would you want to know how much alcohol is in your beer? And a couple of things is one, the bigger the number, the more buzz it's going to pack. But that's not why I'm interested. The reason why I'm interested is because it's also going to give me an idea of what that beer might taste like before I taste the beer. So in the case of an IPA, which is an India Pale Ale style beer, which is a hoppier beer. If I look at the style should be between, we're going to say 6 and 7% alcohol or ABV. And if it's like 5.5, then maybe that's not really an IPA.
Correct. It might be the first indicator that during the brewing process something went wrong.
Right. And the brewer's just selling his mistake, which is what the brewers are allowed to do. They just rename the beer into something else and call it that. So, we'll talk more about what ABV is and what gravity is and
We'll
how
do our
that
homework and come
we'll
up with
do
a
our
better
homework.
answer.
No. Hey, this is the first show. We can make mistakes like this, right? So, next thing I want to talk about is hoppy or hoppiness. The hoppier the beer, the more bitter it is, which just goes back to the IBUs. But a lot of times when I'm describing something, I'm not going to go 54.
No, no, I like the 60.
Well, no, I'm thinking it's more like a 52. What do you think?
Yeah.
So we're not going to use a number to talk about what we're tasting. So when we talk about a beer, we might say it's more hoppy than a something else.
Yes.
Or it's less hoppy than a Bud.
And there's also the flavor on your tongue of hoppy
Right.
and the aromatic hoppy that you smell from the beer.
Right. So there's a couple of things, right? So when you're tasting a beer for the first time, there's a whole bunch of senses that you're going to use or that you can use. One of them being touch.
It feels wet.
It feels wet.
That's the wetness factor. That's
So
another measure of.
it's Is it beer? Yeah, okay. Is it cold? Yeah, okay. So there's the touch factor. I never thought about using touch until right now. I'm making a joke about it, but touching a beer. But the way that a beer smells and the way that a beer tastes can be described using a hop factor. Which leads us to our next word, which is bitter. And bitter is, like Motor said just a moment ago, is a good thing. Beer really, beer needs to be bitter. If it's super sweet, if it's just, and that's one of our other words. So we'll talk about bitter and sweet at the same exact time.
Yes.
If a beer isn't in balance with its sweetness between bitter and sweet, then it might be undrinkable. You might get a pucker factor from the sweet, or you might get a
Yeah,
factor.
yeah.
From
Well, you
the
want it
bitter.
for each style, you want it. Some beers you're going to want to be sweeter than other beers. Some beers you're going to want to have more bitter. And it's not that the beer is made correctly or incorrectly. It's to the style. This one's supposed to be sweet. This one's supposed to be bitter. If you like it more bitter, travel down this path. If you like it sweeter, travel down this path. And the bitter is sometimes associated with being more refreshing, or it works better with some foods. And the sweet is with some beers. You want to have it there, especially if you're brewing with fruit. But sometimes if it gets too sweet, it's not as refreshing. It's sort of more cloying.
What's that word mean?
Sort of.
You're
Yeah, using my hands, that
using an
makes
air
good
gesture.
podcast. Sort of annoyingly sweet.
Annoyingly sweet.
I need a laptop in front of me so I can be online figuring out what I'm saying.
You know, you're not. No. This, you're not allowed to do that. You just have to sit here and talk.
No calculators, pencils only.
No calculators and pencils only. We learned this trick a while ago that that's the best way to do these is to, you know, to basically be ready.
We have you have sweet and you have bitter. Sweet comes from the malt, bitter comes from the hops, and you mix those two things together, those two flavors in varying degrees, depending on what style of beer you have.
Cool.
I tried to put some concise thought together there.
There we go. Well, you didn't need, and then you didn't need a laptop to do that. So what's in store for Beer School in the future? We have a bunch of different shows lined up for you, a lot of different guests, a lot of different people that we want to talk to, both brewers, brewing advocates, brewing historians, people that know that drink more beer than I do, which is, I don't know how that's possible, but
oh, that's why you have me on the show.
That's why. No. Well, actually, you travel more than I do, so you're always going to different places to go try different beers, which is Motor's benefit that he gets to use that knowledge back here. So
proper bar etiquette.
Proper bar etiquette. How to tip your bartender, bartendress. No, there's just no, there's none of that. Just how to tip your bartender.
Yes.
We'll do a show about free beer, how to get free beer, and the ways that the things that come with free beer, what's in for that.
That's more of a show for the gentlemen than the ladies. The ladies seem to have the free beer thing built in.
Oh, that's right. You know, they get free beer all the time. And then I don't know how that works. How is that possible? We're going to talk about styles of beer, like porters and ambers and, wait, those are some kids' names.
Watermelon wheat.
And watermelon wheat. Yeah, we'll get some advertising dollars for that, or maybe a free beer for saying watermelon wheat on the show. We're going to talk about marketing and an interesting...
Craft brew in cans.
Craft brew in cans.
Cans don't necessarily make beer bad. Right. I was going to use another word, but, you know, since we're trying to get on the Disney Channel.
Right. Well, it's definitely not a show for kids, this show. But, it, you know, it's a craft brew in cans. So in part of our history lesson, when we go down the path of history, we're going to talk about the can and where and how its role was defined or what how its role was defined.
How the technology of packaging has changed over the years.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
Remember the Coors Party Ball?
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to the Party Ball?
I'm sure you can still get them somewhere.
I'm sure that there's some place in Grand Rapids, Michigan that still sells the Party Ball. What an interesting thing, the Party Ball. And, yep. And you know, right off, it implied party. So when you showed up with the Party Ball fueled the, you know, just made everybody go up one more.
It was an icon.
It was. I didn't even save one. I'm sure that you could brew it or use it as a fermenter or something. We're going to talk a little bit about brewing, but not a lot, because there's a show that already does, like, the Way Into Brewing show. That's the Brewing Network. Justin Crossley, Daniela.
Dr. Scott. JP.
JP. So that's thebrewingnetwork.com. And if you want to become a better brewer or know all about brewing, that's a 3-hour show on Sundays. Go ahead and
they've got a lot of content.
They have. And so, you know, the thing is that you could just not even listen to the live show and just start with, like, the show from a year ago and just listen to the archive, keep going from there. And a great resource if you do want to be a brewer or a professional brewer or that. When we talk about brewing, we're going to talk about it from a more elementary point of view or a beer 101 point of view so that everyone really understands the process of brewing a little better. I don't know that it makes you a better beer drinker knowing the process, but definitely you can appreciate where that beer came from and why it's the style that it was. And then when you go to the brewery, which is always a fun thing to do, when you go to the brewery, you can actually know what those things are.
Know what's going on in those big steel tanks in the back.
Yeah, and why there's copper there, and why there's a bunch of foam, and how come that stuff looks like it's brown, and you know.
Exactly.
And oh, wow, look at all that. You have about $1 million of, oh, no, that's just hops.
But no, we're sitting here with a perspective. We're sitting on the same side of the bar as you are. We're sitting outside the brewery looking in at the brewery, and we're just here to tell you how to be a better beer drinker.
That's right. How to be a better beer drinker. How you and your friends can learn to like more than one kind of beer.
Yes. And the elusive, when I'm out with my lady friend, what beer might she like?
Oh, this is, you know what? This is a really good point because, wow, what better way to impress the girl than to understand what might be going on in her head.
You always need to understand her needs.
That's right. You know, and so you don't want to order her a...
You don't want to start out with an IPA.
You don't want to give her an IPA because you know what? Pucker factor is going to go... Any pucker factor that you might have got the benefit of, totally gone. All right, so we have some homework for everybody. This is a really... This is a very... Every show, we're going to do homework. We're going to talk about homework. And this is homework for us. It's homework for the kids at home. Some of the shows will actually have tastings. We'll talk about the beer that we're going to do, but, you know, it's good noon and Super Bowl Sunday. Oh!
It is Super Bowl Sunday.
I can't say that.
Why?
No. Well, I can. Whatever. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
It's S-O-O-P-E-R-B-U-L.
It's Stupid Bowl Sunday. Anyway, I'm sure that everybody's going to be drinking lots and lots of beers today, but you don't get the benefit of the homework today. This is for next when you're listening to this. But the homework for Beer School is we would like everybody to go buy a six-pack of beer that costs $3 more than you usually spend. And first thing you're going is like, six-pack? Dude, I buy 12-packs. All right, so that's maybe the first thing that you can do is to not buy the 12-pack.
Here's a math lesson. If you buy 12-packs, buy 2 6-packs that cost... How many dollars did we say? Three?
It
cost $6 more than your 12-pack.
No. I guess what I was saying is that the guy's like going, well, I drink Bud. You know, I drink Miller. I drink Henry Weinhart's. Or I drink, you know, something that comes in a 12-pack. And I really like that beer. Well, okay. So what we're asking is in the quest of spending $3 more on your beer is really to try something else. To go eeny, meeny, miny, moe on the shelf. And I know that this is going to go – that this is a request that will potentially go wrong because you're going to pick something because it's got a pretty red bottle or because it's got a pretty red six-pack wrapper, and you're going to go, I hate this beer. I hate this show. I'm never going to listen to it again. And, well, it's the first step. You know, it really is – you know, and if you want to be a better beer drinker – you've got to be willing to expand your horizons.
Travel down the path less traveled.
Travel to San Francisco and meet up with us somewhere, and we'll impart all of our knowledge. And you can pay for it.
I think I've imparted all my knowledge today.
That's right. Well,
but no, we don't know where you live. We don't know what beer is available to you. And so the easiest way for us to try to get you to reach out to a different beer is it's a pretty good bet that if you pay a little bit more than what you usually spend on beer, you might find something that's a little bit more interesting.
The other thing you can do with that newfound beer is you can side-by-side it with the beer that you already like.
Yes.
So you can have $3 six-pack more in one hand and your normal beer in the other hand, and you can learn to you can taste do the side-by-side test. Now, the next show that we're going to do is on tasting beer. Which is like, yeah, I know how to taste beer. Like, put the glass up to my mouth and take a sip, and then I know how to sip, and then I swallow it, and that's it. Sure, we understand. I got it. That's how I used to think. I'm like, you know, back in the day when before somebody said, "Hey, this is how to taste a beer," I didn't taste a beer. I was just drinking beer to drink beer. So I thought it was cool, and I thought, you know, oh, I'm drinking beer. Okay, here we go. And who knew that there was all these flavors, and who knew that there was all these different tastes, and who knew that if you are cooking chicken wings, that this beer might be a better beer to have.
With the chicken wings.
With the chicken wings. And then when you're done with the chicken wings and you're having the turducken, that the turducken required a different beer.
We'll even find you a beer that'll go with cheesecake.
Oh, a beer with cheesecake. That is...
I'd take a stout.
I would take a stout too. That would be the way to go.
But as you learn to taste different flavors in beer, then you can have a communication with somebody or communicate with someone about, I like this beer, I like these sort of flavors. What do you have that is like this that I can try? So that you start to develop a language that you can communicate if you go to a place that has different beer choices that you've never experienced.
Right. And usually, you know, usually your bartender will know what those things are, you know, what's there. So you can say, well, I like this beer. So the guy will go, oh, then you should try this.
Because unless you're at a bar in LA where you ask for a Pilsner and they say, we don't have a Pilsner, but why not a Racer 5?
So not a Racer 5. It's so far away from there. All right. So now you've got your homework. We've talked about some terms. We've got the beginning of the show. This is the first one that we're going to do. A lot of amazing people that are going to be helping us with the coming months.
There's a menagerie of them.
We're going to have Motor on as many times as we possibly can. It basically means that I'm going to have to go pick him up, but that's fine.
I know a lot of words and the bus comes here.
He does. Actually, the bus does come here. It's very close. Until next time, class dismissed. Oh, you know what?
You know what you need?
You know what I forgot to do?
What?
I forgot to tell him who I was.
You fix that to make. You know what you need? You need the sound effect of a school bell.
I do need. You know, see this?
It's so cheesy, but as soon as it's running,
yeah, ding, ding. Oh yeah, yeah. Right. The. Oh yeah. Well, you know what? I'm sure we can find that. That's like in every single movie that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can get the guys from Hollywood Edge. My friends that have that library to do it. This is the after show, by the way.
Oh, the after show. Yeah, we're doing that, too.
We have an after show. Just because that's, you know, so wildly successful.
You know, I like the after. You know, I thought most of the show was the after show.
Well, yeah, but so that is that. There is that. Most of the show is the after show.
This is the part where if we would have thought ahead, you would have heard the beer bottles opening.
Oh, yeah, right. Or the beer bottles clinking around as we throw them away.
It's Sunday, so we're doing this in lieu of church.
That's right. Well, this is the beer. This is...
There's a brew pub in Pittsburgh that was built in a church.
No way, really?
Yep. I think it's called Church Brewing. I
have a can you swear in that brewery?
I believe you can.
Hmm. That would be funny if you couldn't swear. Like, no swearing in our brewery.
There was a brew pub, I think it's closed, I'm not certain, in Houston that was in an old suburban bank branch. And the private dining room was the vault.
Neato.
Yes. And they had a lot of really bad pun names for their beers. They had Bad Czech Pilsner.
Oh, wow. And
they had Banker Steam.
Banker Steam. That's very clever. Okay, well, this is that, and I'm going to turn this off. You've been listening to Beer School Podcast. I'm on the iPod now.
With John Foster.
That's right. I'm John Foster, and I'm throwing you all out. I got to erase the chalkboard. And, hey, kid, you want to bang the erasers together?
Want to bang the teacher? I mean...